Good morning again. Good morning again. We are going this morning to continue in our series, Living Life by the Book. This week we are going to journey to the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah. We were in the book of Nehemiah back in 2021. I would recommend just to that you would go back and tap into that series in May of 21, the book of Nehemiah. We had a series that you tap into, and you can get a full flavor of the text. Amen? But today, we're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. And I'm going to begin reading there at verse 1. Nehemiah chapter 8, and I'll begin reading at verse 1. I'll be reading from the English Standard Translation. If you have your copy of God's Word, you can meet me there. Nehemiah 8. I repeated it and gave you a little extra time because, you know, we're not always in that section of the Bible. So I just wanted to, for those that have the paper Bibles in front of them, give you a moment. For the digital folks, God bless you. Nehemiah 8, beginning at verse 1, and the word of God reads thusly. And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it, facing the square before the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah and Shemaiah and Ananiah and Uriah and Hilkiah and Maaseiah. And on his right hand, Pedaiah, Mishael, Malchijah, Hashem, Hashbadanah, Zechariah, and Meshullam on his left hand. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And as he opened the book, as he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, amen, lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also, Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akab, Shabbatai, Hodiah, Maaseiah, Kalita, Azariah, Josabad, Hanan, Peleiah, the Levites, helped the people to understand the law while the people remained in their places. They read from the book, from the law of God clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. We'll pause there. Let's pray. Father, Spirit of the living God, we pray that you would now breathe on us again. Breathe on us, Lord, that we would be swept clean of distraction, of, Lord, encumbrance, anything that would stand in the way of your purpose and your grace and the opening of your word. Help us, Lord, to center you, your voice, your will, God, as your word is opened. Have your way in this room. Let your grace and peace fall on each one now, Lord, we pray. and even on those that are participating, Lord, online, God. We pray that the experience of your grace and your peace and your presence would be with them. Lord, I ask now for fresh anointing to preach and an anointing to receive your word. And Father, please let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Because, Lord, you are my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I may have mentioned before that I use my Maps app to get to most places. Maps app, y'all got that? Yeah. Even when I know the way, I'm always hoping that it'll show me a faster way. So I use the app. I don't care if I'm going around the corner to get gas. It gives directions. Y'all familiar with by voice and picture, right? Since I also have a habit of listening to music while I ride, that annoying voice, I mean that helpful voice, it sometimes gets annoying as it interrupts my songs with directions. Yeah, and so what I usually do is I end up muting the voice. I mute the voice. And so I'll just look at the map. But what I found, though, is sometimes when I've been traveling somewhere on a familiar road for a long time, I forget to check the map for my directions. I know what I'm doing, know where I'm going. I forget to check the map. And typically, it's not until I've passed my exit and now have to go miles out of my way to get back on the right path, are you listening, that I unmute the voice and start paying serious attention to the map after I'm well out of my way. In the text today, we find God's people getting back to their original destination after years of being off course, far from home, as they begin navigating their way back in this familiar place, in this familiar zone. They do something different. They decide all together that this time they will follow the voice map of God completely. This time God has given us another chance, and this time we're going to follow the voice map of God completely. When God gives you a do-over, do you do better? They want to follow this map completely, and so that they can stay on course as they find themselves living renewed lives by the book. Living renewed lives. That's that new opportunity, that second chance that God gives us. Living renewed lives by the book. Where are we in the scripture? Somebody said, I showed up on a day, they talking about Nehemiah. What happened to John and Peter? The book of Nehemiah in our Old Testament is connected as one book with Ezra in the Hebrew Bible. In the original Hebrew Bible, it was one book, Ezra and Nehemiah. They are leaders of this time. And they take place over the same general time period. Both Ezra and Nehemiah display God's holiness and faithfulness in restoring his people after their exile in Babylon. What happened? The scripture details their returning to the promised land after they were exiled, the promised land that they were exiled from because of their disobedience. As God mercifully allows the survivors to return from Babylon, they begin and rebuild all the things that were torn down during their capture when they were invaded. The first wave of returning exiles, they restore the altar and then the temple of God so that they can get worship back in place. Then some years later, another group led by Nehemiah calls on the people to rebuild the walls of the city, Jerusalem, to make it secure and settled as God's place again. Nehemiah said, we have to get the walls back in order, and he did that. Here at the end of the rebuilding, with the walls standing and the people resettled in the land, that promised land that God had given to them in Jerusalem, all things finally seem back in order. But in order for the total reestablishment of the people, they must be sure to be on the right path spiritually. I mean, you can have all your ducks in a row. You can have your home, your homeowner's insurance, your car, your job, but you need to be on the right path. So they want to make sure. So what they do, they look to the word. They look to the word. The thought here, a renewed life places God's word at the center. A renewed life places God's word at the center. Don't tell me what God has done for you, but then his word is nowhere to be found in your life. The people make five steps in the right direction toward their renewed living. Five steps that they make. We're gonna touch on them one by one. But the first step that they make is that they request the word. They request the word. The people request the word. Look, verse 1 tells us, and all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. Something to note as we open this text, that not to miss, is the unity of the people. They are all gathered with one agenda, not just satisfied to be resettled in the land. They want the word. They showed up for it. They take the initiative to seek it out. The word, standing where they are near this gate in the wall of Jerusalem that the Lord gave them favor to rebuild in only 52 days. That would have been a concrete reminder of his faithfulness all around them. If you look around you, I'm sure there are reminders of the Lord's faithfulness in your life. They request the word. And they request it from a trusted source. They didn't just say, let me see what TikTok got going on today. Let me get my Instagram devotional. They request, that's not in my notes, I'm sorry. They request the word from a trusted source. They call Ezra. Ezra, who's that? Ezra was a priest and also a scribe or an expert in the law. Those written commands of God given to his people through Moses, sometimes particularly identifying the first books of the first five books of what we have as our Bible or the Pentateuch, but the law, and more even more broadly, he was a scholar. He knew the word. In Ezra chapter 7, we find out why he was the right man for the job. There in Ezra chapter 7, it says about him in verse 10, for Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. This is the life Ezra was about. This is what was in Ezra's heart. That's why they called for Ezra. Now, Ezra had been he'd been around leading by living and teaching the word of God for at least 13 years back in the land. But it's this moment that the people join together asking to hear what the word has to say for them all as a people. This text gives us good support for the collective hearing of God's word and not only our own private study. Collective hearing. This scripture shows this. We don't know why the people became so hungry for the word of God at this point. But one thing that they would have known, it would have been in their minds, was that the neglecting the word is what led them to being exiled from the promised land in the first place. Somebody in the crowd was probably thinking, we ain't going to do that again. I don't know if they used ain't back then, but their request demonstrates the place and the priority they hold and they desire for the word to have in their renewed lives and the land. The word. I believe God holds these people in this instance up as an example of the posture we should have toward his word. They make an example here. The word should be so centered among the gathered people of God that an outsider recognizes that must be something important to them. The word. We see this not only in their requesting the word, but also how they then go and readily receive the word. They readily receive the word. This is another step in the right direction. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women and all who could understand that they what they heard on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it, facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. They're attentive. Something is happening here in these people. You might be able to feel it and sense it yourself. I don't know what your appetite is like. Ezra responds to the people's eagerness for the word. When I was reading this, I got excited. I imagine this would be a preacher's dream. An entire congregation showing up just saying, give us the word. We don't need the fluff. We don't need to be primed and propped up. We just give us the word, preacher. Amen. This is the scene. It was electric. Something was happening. These verses point first to who showed up and summarizes their readiness to receive the word. Men, they weren't passive. Men, women, and children showed up. Watch this. Whoever was old enough to hear it and get it were there for it. The church that I grew up in, it had Sunday school for kids, but no children's church. Uh-oh. I'm convinced, though, as I thought back over the years, that there are things that I know about the word of God because I sat as a child in the sanctuary hearing it again and again, and God was able to use it in me even when I wasn't suspecting it. Can I tell y'all, I did not write down my life goal as to be a preacher. I was going to be a veterinarian, but that's another story for another time. God uses his word. We're always going to make space for the kids here, but there's something to consider in this. We must help form the discipline and appetite of our children to receive the word of God in the gatherings of the people of God. I got one amen from a parent. Amen. We got to help form it. And it's not just the parents. We need to be alongside of the parents. Amen. 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 There was somebody alongside an older woman alongside my mother that kept a butterscotch in her pocketbook that would give it to me on the aisle. Say, oh, yeah, I like sitting in here. Don't get any ideas, kid. But beyond children, we can't get them an appetite for something we don't have. Anyone who has the ability to understand this word should make it their business to be seeking to hear it and to understand it, to be after it. Look, the timing of this corporate receiving of the word beginning the seventh month, it lined up with the month that Israel had been commanded to observe some festivals, some solemn rest, festivals of repentance and remembering God's protection. They had neglected some of these spiritual appointments that God put on their calendar. But the word returns them here to order as they receive it. They had been missing some of those days with God that God had appointed, but now the word is lining them back up. Their readiness is seen also in their focus. The reading, it says it went from early morning till midday. At least 6 hours. I hear somebody thinking already, they lost me at early morning. Look. 6 hours. But they not only showed up and just passively tolerated the word going forth, the scripture implies that they leaned into it. They leaned in. They situated themselves to hear the word well. They were focused on receiving the word. What does that look like for us? Does it mean we cut off notifications? Or what does it mean? How do we situate ourselves? Does it mean that we go to sleep early on a Saturday? They positioned themselves to receive the word. But it was 6 hours. A friend of mine was on a missions trip to New Zealand, I believe, and he told me as he sat in the plane during a 17-hour flight, he was basically trapped in his seat by someone on the aisle binge-watching a show on Netflix. They were for 16 hours straight. How long can you focus on something? The average attention span is reportedly shrinking year by year, going down. They say even the above average speaker is lucky to get 20 minutes of focus from an audience. But what does God say? We see even what we see from the Netflix binge watcher and even the folks here in this text. Readiness and interest make focus possible. It makes it possible. Don't say what you can't do. These people readily with eagerness and focus receive the word of the Lord. Their attitudes about it show in how they now reverence the word of the Lord. They reverence the word of the Lord. Watch these people. The text is focused on them. Watch. And verse 4 says, "And Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that they had made for that purpose, the reading of the word. And 13 brothers stood beside him." Y'all waiting for me to read the names, but I did it once. 13 brothers stood beside him. Verse 5, "And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And as he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, 'Amen, amen,' lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground." What's going on? Looking at the scene described in verses 1 to 3, these verses start to lay out in more detail about the people's posture in this whole process of opening the word. First, we find people had invested themselves in preparing for this day. I'd just like to pause and thank God for our greeters and our setup team and all the people that are here 8-something in the morning so that when we come in, we can receive the word. Amen. But people had invested themselves in preparing for this day, spending time building a high platform for this occasion. There's going to be a day for the reading, a time for the reading of the word, and I will help build the platform. And that high raised platform, usually that word means a tower. I don't know how big this thing was, but it removed barriers for the reading and hearing of the holy text. It put him in position to get the word out. And then 13, so there's reverence, but 13 men joined Ezra now as he opened the word. No positions or titles are given for the men, but their presence with him, it reflects a support for the significance of the moment that was about to go forth. The people receiving the word show reverence by standing when the book, or in this time it was a scroll, was open, was unfolded. The people stood. You know, we have a custom of standing for dignitaries, some of us. And here, the people hold the word in even higher regard as if in the presence of God speaking. They rise when the word is open. They reverence the word. Recognizing the God of the word, they're not just listening to the daily news. Recognizing that they join Ezra, affirming the blessings that the Lord is worthy of. Look at the scene. Did Ezra, it says he blessed the Lord. Did Ezra bless him like David did in Psalm 34 when David said, "I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Is this how Ezra blessed the Lord? And I can imagine then the people participating in reverence, raising holy hands and responding, "Amen, amen." God is worthy. We get a clear picture here that the opening of the scripture is an act of worship. It's become so commonplace, so regular and so ordinary, like the voice on the mat. It's an act of worship, preparing to hear from and encounter the holy God. The people all bow down in reverence. They know this is not just an ordinary day, an ordinary book. Remember, it was a lack of regard for God's word and his commands that landed the people in their exile. But as they seek this renewed living in the land, back in the land, they now operate with reverence concerning his word. And it's from this heart posture of reverence that the people realize the word. What does that mean? They realize the word. They grasp, they take hold of. It's from this posture of reverence. They realize the word. Watch this. Verse 7. Also, Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbatai, Hodiah, Maaseiah, Kalita, Azariah, Josabad, Hanan, Peliah, the Levites. Even the writer was like, the Levites and them. Help the people understand the law while the people remained in their places. They sat still, stood still. They read from the book, from the law of God clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. We're not given the exact methods, but verses 7 and 8 tell us that combined with the reading of the word was clear explanation being made by 13 Levites who were there for that purpose. These Levites, they were men of God who they were tasked to serve with the priest in the temple, but also to teach the word of God to his people. That was their function. Some believe that a part of this clear understanding that they had to give was to translate the Hebrew language that the scriptures was in into the common language that people had started speaking in that day. They had to colloquialize it into Aramaic so that people could understand. But the Levites would have pressed, in their making the word clear, they would have pressed the spiritual implications of God's word so that the people not only understood what it said, but also what it required of them as God's people. Any of this start to sound familiar to you? Whatever it took, these men would break the word down so that the people could realize it, could grasp and take hold of it. The people realized the words because those who were called and able clarified and explained it. Watch this. In our age of access and internet, I suggest that rightly realizing the word of God is still a community effort. I don't mean to advise that folks shouldn't open and meditate on the word of God in their own quiet time. I'm not saying that. But as a safeguard, God has given community and able folks who've dedicated themselves to him and his word. It's a safeguard. God's put this in place for us, community. But once the people got a true hold of the word, the word got hold of them, and they respond. They respond. The people respond to the word. 9, it says, and Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest, and the scribe, it gets good here, and the Levites who taught the people said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord, your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved. Why? For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Oh God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Have you ever opened the Bible and actually gotten a glimpse of who God is, and then at the same time got a real look at who you were? Has it ever happened? If not, you're not reading right. I mean, you open it and you are struck by the truth of your condition without him. Nobody, I'll be honest. My Bible has stains of tears in it from those moments when I was struck. But it also has tear stains of thanksgiving after reading about his mercy and his love toward me and the pages of my scripture have been wet. These folks got a glimpse, and their response to the word led to a posture of repentance. They began weeping when they saw how short they had fallen. And as they weep about it, the leaders, these are good leaders. Nehemiah is there, and Ezra is there, and the Levites are there, recognizing the moment that the Lord wasn't calling the people to stay there in that moment. The leaders said, all right now, okay now, pointed them toward the joy of what he'd done. They were released. Now, they had responded with weeping, but as the leaders shared more about God's word and what he was doing in this moment, they were released to respond with joy as they realized that the Lord's saving strength toward them, both the past and the present. It would have been being unfolded in the scripture. They would have had to think about the goodness of the Lord. They had been and were being at that moment preserved and kept by the Lord. He says, settle down now. Stop crying. Look what the Lord is doing for you in this moment. He was allowing them to begin again. He was in the land again, a remnant of them who had survived, and he was doing it all according to his word. He says, settle down. Their response now should be to feast and celebrate what the Lord has done. The leaders are leading them. People, sometimes we might want to sit in our stuff with our faces cast down. But then there comes a time when the word of God says we got to turn to him and we have to learn how to rejoice. He says, rejoice. Their response is to feast and celebrate. There's been sin and consequences, but mercy and love have you here and have you secure. Rejoice because God's got you. Rejoice. Those of us who found the ultimate strength of God in the salvation of Jesus Christ, recognizing that through the life he lived and the death he died and his resurrection, we are secured in God, in him. In spite of the things that we might be facing today or yesterday or even tomorrow, the word gives us hope and a reason to rejoice.
We're here right now because God is good and God's got us. So rejoice, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Take strength and rejoice in the moment. Take strength and rejoice no matter what you're facing. Take strength and rejoice. God's word calls us to it. After we've gotten our posture right, we request and receive readily, and we reverence, and then we turn and we respond with weeping. But the scripture says that weeping, it may endure for a night, but what? But joy. Y'all know the word of God. I'm so happy. But joy, sure to come in the morning. Rejoice. I'll close with the thoughts that, so if we know that what we've seen in these people of God, that these are the right steps toward living renewed life. And we're all living renewed life if we have Jesus Christ. Living renewed life. What keeps us from taking these steps constantly in our lives concerning the word of God? Does it catch dust on the shelf during the week? Three things, and then we're closing. The things that can get in the way. Regard. Is it of high value? Is it of high value? These are the questions that you have to get in. I can express how valuable the word of God is, how important it is, but I can't make anybody open and read it. Regard, is it of high value? Second, priority. Where does it rank among the things of your life? I told you before, as a child growing up, my grandmother wouldn't let us sit any object on top of the Bible. She was teaching us a lesson in priority. This book is above. It's never beneath. And lastly, if you ask yourself the question, like, yeah, I know it's God's word, and I don't have the same urgency that these people showed in the scripture. Primarily, we have to recognize it is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, it is His Word. It's inspired by His Spirit, and it should speak to anyone who His Spirit indwells. So if the Spirit of God is indwelling you because you have received new life in Jesus Christ, we are encouraged like newborn babes to desire the pure milk of the Word. If it's not happening, go to the doctor. Say, doctor, fix my appetite. Fix my appetite. No matter how we order our lives, if the word is not centered, we're not living renewed lives.